Titan Radio.
Well, it's often been suggested that students should be given a financial education to prepare themselves for the big world of hard knocks and to realise the value of money. Well, Lacey Filipich is with her mother, in fact, founded the Money School as they wanted to close the financial gap around money so that young people can achieve financial independence. What a great start. And she joins us right now. Lovely to speak to you, Lacey.
Thanks for having me, Jane.
That's a great pleasure. You changed roles and careers, didn't you, from being a chemical engineer?
Absolutely. I enjoyed being a chemical engineer. It was fun working in the mining industry, and I jumped across to be a management consultant for a while. And then when I had children, decided that it was time for another career change. And so now I'm an entrepreneur.
Well, you saw a gap. And like I said earlier, really, we've been talking about teaching children at, well, they say young people in probably high school, university, even financial independence, or how to achieve it.
Absolutely. I think it's an essential skill. Yeah. And I feel like I won the ovarian lottery with my mother because she taught me as a teenager and it's made a real difference in my life. And I really hope other kids get the same opportunity.
So, okay, your mum Fran, of course, and yourself got together and have come up with the Money School. But to lead you to that point, how is it that a young person like yourself at the time was actually taking notice, because we really wanted to go and spend money and to buy things that we really needed, like not, but we wanted.
Mm. Yes, absolutely. And I can relate to that as well. Yep. I remember that as a teenager, being obsessed with shoes in particular. And I think it was because I went to a private girls' school and I hadn't realised before that I didn't have much money, and suddenly I saw a lot of people with lots of money. And that made me quite curious. And my mother was also working as an accountant, and so she was watching other people investing and noticed that I was curious and keen to work, and I started working as soon as I could. And she encouraged me to save lots of money and then started taking me to seminars and giving me books. And then when I was 19, suggested, hey, Lacey, instead of buying a car, you could actually buy a house if you wanted to. Wow. And that was really where it started.
That is amazing. Now, the thing is, though, at 19, to have that sort of money to be able to save, how is it she disciplined you to do that? Was there a set amount each week you put aside out of your wages?
Yeah, always 50%.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, from when I was a kid. Yeah, it is a lot. But, you know, when you're living at home, you really don't need much because your parents provide so much for you. So it's all discretionary spending. I still had a good life. I went out to the movies. But I just made a point of saving everything, half of everything that I earned, and I've kept it up.
Gee, that'd grow. It'd grow pretty quickly if you put 50% of your salary aside. If you're living at home, you'd have to be doing that, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. And I think the benchmark, if you're going to give an Olympic gold medal, are people that save 70% or more of their after-tax income. It's certainly doable.
Gee,
just used to having lots of stuff instantly, that's all.
Well, no, you're absolutely right. On the other side of the coin, the younger people are being accused of being that way at the moment because there's so many great temptations out there with technology and fashion changes constantly and getting your own apartment, that sort of thing. So it's really good. So, okay, you got your first home, you actually invested in your first home at 19, did you?
That's right. Yes, I built a little apartment, little tiny 2x1. It was about 50 square metres.
That's a start because it just grows, doesn't it, from there?
Exactly. And I've actually still got that apartment. I still rent it out and the mortgage is pretty much gone. So now it makes money for
income. Yep, yeah. Way to go. It's absolutely the way to go. So it's good that you had your mum as an accountant that could look at figures and see it realistically. That would have helped you a lot.
Absolutely. She's been a great confidant. We both talk to each other about our investments now. I think it's really important that families talk about this stuff. It's been taboo for a long time. And my mum is certainly a case of showing how it can be great for families to help each other and talk about these things together rather than avoiding them.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So have you gone on to buy any other properties at all?
Yeah, I've gone on to buy 5 more properties, actually, but we only bought our principal place of residence for the first time when I was 32, a few years ago. So prior to that, it was all investing, and sold a couple of investments to be able to afford the home that we wanted.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say I've also gone into shares more recently because I think it's kind of risky times for debt at the moment. So that's been more of a later thing for me.
Yeah, I guess you've got to be able to sort of see ahead a little bit. I mean, it'd be great if we all could, but if you're in a position, because, you know, we do have our ups and downs, don't we, financially, interest rates and everything.
Absolutely. And interest rates is a great indicator for what's happening in the economy. And I studied economics at high school, and although I went on to do engineering, it was probably my favourite subject. And I've been very interested in what's happening in the economy. And I mentioned before, as we were just discussing, that, you know, it might not be a good time to take on debt. And being able to make those decisions is what's really important, having kids have enough information to read what's happening in the economy and make a sensible decision based on the time.
So with your knowledge, Lacey, it's an appropriate question to ask you. Where do you think we're heading at the moment?
Well, I'm concerned about our debt levels, both as households and as governments. It's concerning that our debt has continued to rise even after the GFC. And I don't feel like we've had the correction that perhaps we could have in Australia. You know, other countries had massive corrections, like the States, and we haven't really. So I'm curious to see whether there'll be a recession or a downturn in the next few years, but you just never know with these things. Mm. Plenty of things could change. So, but I personally am a bit more cautious at the moment because I'm a bit sceptical about how much debt we have.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point, and I think most people are as well. I mean, you look at the interest rates, of course, the lowest I've ever known them to be. Back in the 80s, and I know it's a very old, tired story, but, you know, 18% was the interest rate on home loans back then. And that was it. You can't even imagine it, can you? It was just an awful time.
Like having a credit card for your home loan. It's amazing that people survived and kept their homes through that.
Yeah, I think they took in boarders or something. You would have had to hold on to your home because it was, you know, they weren't selling that well either. So, okay, let's just say that you've moved on from that now, and now you're going to try and help others, which is what you're doing with the Money School. And do you do this online?
Yes, that's right. So we started off teaching face-to-face, but I have two small kids, and so we decided to go online because that means I can reach more people. So we've got a course for parents, and our model is the same as, I guess, what my mum did with me, parent teaching child. I think that works really well. Yeah. And we've also had a bunch of kids starting businesses as a result. Their parents have said, well, if you want more money, you better find a way to earn it. Now I've got 11-year-olds asking me what to do with $3,500. So it's a great problem to have.
My gosh. Yeah. Actually, there was something on the internet about a young boy. I don't know if it was in Australia or not. I think he was about 8 or 10 years of age. He's made $21,000 by selling off waste products, you know, paper and cardboards.
Cans, yeah. Yeah. It's extraordinary. These kids, I'm amazed by how excited kids are about things like having small businesses. And I guess I was reflecting, I had a small business when I was 10 as well, doing hair wraps, which were in, you know, little bits of cotton wrapped around here. And I think they don't have any of the fear that adults have. They're willing to try anything. Yeah. And they've got an advantage being quite cute as well.
Yeah, they get away with a bit more. So there are three rules, you say, that you go by.
Yes. Yeah, I only try to teach people three rules, and I think everything else is negotiable. That's what I think you need to learn about in your family, because it's a lot about values. The three rules for me are save. Save as much as you can. Yeah. You can always get to your savings later. Use those savings to buy assets, and assets are things that put money in your pocket. So your car's not an asset, even though the bank might have you believe otherwise.
No, it's not.
And if possible, avoid bad debt. And bad debt for me is anything that's not for an asset. So paying interest on your credit card, paying interest on a car, things like that are bad debt. If you can avoid bad debt, then you'll find it easier to save and buy assets.
Absolutely. When you say quite young children are out there looking to start up business, what sort of businesses would a child be interested or be able to deal with?
Oh, they're a fascinating range, actually. So we've got girls and boys making lip balm from olive oil and beeswax and selling that. We've got people upcycling jars and putting fairy lights in them. We've got people making affirmation cards for kids, people making Harry Potter wands from all natural materials. There's all sorts. It's really impressive.
Oh, that is amazing. It gives us adults some ideas, actually. That's fantastic.
It certainly does.
Now, you've done workshops as well, haven't you?
Yeah, we've been doing some workshops on superannuation for the Department of Local Government and Communities at the moment, and they're getting booked out, and we're getting lots of questions about them, which is great, and they're specifically for women from the women's interest sections.
And the Kidpreneur program, that's, we were just talking about it, I suppose, called Maker Kids.
Yes. Yeah, so that one's, we've got a free course starting for some parents and kids on that in a couple of weeks, actually, and we're teaching in schools at the moment. I've been doing a pilot in Riverton Primary School with the Year 6s there, and they'll be launching their businesses on the 30th of June, which is very exciting.
Well, look, it just is. I mean, this is well, you know, much later, well behind the times when it should have been introduced, I think, back when we were at high school. I just wish the heck we had been taught it.
Absolutely, but it's never too late, and we're seeing even some of the parents get in on the businesses, which is fantastic. I met a family the other day, or it's a team event. Mum and 10-year-old son went to China and bought some of those fidget spinners that are everywhere, and now they're selling them. So,
are they the people that brought them in? Are they the people that brought them?
One of them. Several. They're very expensive on eBay now. Unfortunately, they got in before the rush, so they've got a shipment arriving soon, and they're selling them to all the other kids that are the same age as Ken, the kid in the business.
And it's like any business that anyone's tempted to get involved in. You have to meet what the market wants at the time, don't you?
Absolutely, and we make a big point about getting the kids to go and test their product before they launch into making masses of it. They've got to make a prototype or create a booking sheet and go and ask some customers to actually pay. Otherwise, they could invest a lot of time and energy and end up with all this stock they don't need.
So when they start up a business, when they're not working at this stage and getting an income, how do they financially get started?
Well, it's a good point that if they've got some savings, they tend to use those. They also, we encourage them if they need more than, say, $10 or $20 to go and get a loan from mum and dad. And we do suggest that mum and dad charge interest because that's an important part of learning about how money works. And so most of them will probably get a loan from their folks. Some of them are doing things like services, which they don't actually need to have any inventory for, so they're able to do those just for the cost of printing out some flyers.
Okay. Yeah, with technology now, you can print off, can't you? And that sort of thing makes it a lot easier.
Exactly. And free websites these days, they can create a website and take bookings without having to pay anybody anything, which is wonderful.
Oh my gosh, they're going to be the business leaders of the future, aren't they?
They certainly are. That's how Warren Buffett and Richard Branson started out as entrepreneurs. I'm looking forward to seeing where they are in 20 years' time and being amazed.
I just think it's wonderful that you've started all this for people, and I think it's fabulous. So, okay, so you've got a website, have you not, where people go to?
Absolutely. Moneyschool.org.au and makerkids.club are the two websites that we're operating at the moment. So I'd love to see people there. We've got lots of free blogs on the moneyschool.org.au site.
Money School, I'm just writing it down because people do ring in and ask about it, .org.au. So do people have to pay to be part of this? I guess they do.
We've got plenty of free articles. There's about 50 free blog articles, lots of stuff on property investing and stuff for adults. For the kidpreneurs, what we're trying to do is get funding to offer markets so that kids can come in for free and have a market which is safe for them to sell their products. So we're actually in the running for some funding from Melville City Council, and we'll find out by Friday when Project Robin Hood closes. So they can participate in that for free. We'll also have a low-cost $10 a month membership for people that their families that have got kidpreneurs. If they want some support and some training, we'll deliver the same training we're doing in schools online.
I think that's absolutely wonderful. Now, you've actually mentioned here too that you donate part of profits to mental health charities.
Yes.
That's a good thing.
Yes, it is a good thing. It's a result of my sister committed suicide 8 years ago, which is obviously very sad and a big loss. Yeah, it is very sad, but it's a wonderful thing to be able to do this in her memory. And we're supporting a local not-for-profit called Growing Change, which is in North Fremantle, which gives people skills and community feeling so that they can overcome their issues.
Well, I don't need to give you good luck because you've got it, Lacey.
Thank you
and your mum and everyone concerned, and everyone's going to benefit from it. It's just, in fact, you'll probably find some business ideas. You might be able to go into partnership with them.
Absolutely. I might invest in a couple for return.
Don't blame you. Thank you very much for joining us, and congratulations on what you're doing.
Thank you, Jenny. It was wonderful to talk to you.
Bye-bye, Lacey. Lacey Filipich there, and it's moneyschool.org.au.